Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOV. Turn the guest up. We don't have a guest tonight, but on nights we don't, I miss hearing Anderson scream, turn the guest up to engineer Chris. Yeah. Every single time we have a guest. All right. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Dish-bish, blah, blah. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, here we
Woo,
go.
That's what I'm talking about. Get it on. Drew brought something in from his computer, everybody.
Shocking.
Yeah. What is it? Calling all nerds.
Two women want to marry Scott Peterson within hours of arriving at death row.
Shocking.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, what is that? Is it, you know what is, women sometimes, certain women have a belief that they can have a special appreciation of the injured little boy within, and they have a special understanding of him, and the other world doesn't understand this poor, special person, and only they can magically bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was Mother Nature thinking about when she put that impulse in a woman?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen specials on these women who marry the guys in the joint. They're surprisingly good-looking for the most part. I mean, you would picture somebody just had an anchor dragged across them on ground.
Yeah.
You know? They are better-looking than half the guys I know's wives. It's scary. That number, not the Drew man, but what I'm saying is you would picture, okay, this person can't land anyone on the outside. Oh, contraire, they can. There's numerous reasons, I believe, why women go after guys that are in the joint. One is that whole intimacy thing we're talking about.
Yeah, they're all trauma survivors and stuff.
You get to have a fantasy relationship for the rest of your life.
Right.
No pressure. And in a certain way, I mean, Drew, now as a man of passion, you must engage in intercourse every 26 to 29 minutes or you'll explode. But imagine if that component was surgically cut out of you.
Yeah.
Now, you minus the sex part, which is minus for a lot of these women, because a lot of these women were sexually abused
or whatever.
They're completely shut down sexually.
Yeah.
That intimacy freaks them out. Well, now they just have someone in a cage, essentially, a few miles up the road. They get
to
write
him
a nice letter.
Leaving or cheating. There he is. He's right there.
Right.
Where's he going?
As a guy, if I wasn't interested in the sex part, this would be an ideal relationship for me, too.
With a woman in a cage.
True, admit it. If our wives were in jail up the street, it would be a better life for us. We'd visit them. We'd never get in arguments. You'd like
better life for them, maybe.
Well, everyone.
Yeah.
You'd be hanging out with guys for a change, doing your thing. Mm. The point is for a woman who isn't so interested in the sexual part necessarily of the relationship, and especially these women, this can be an ideal relationship. Well, if the guy was out of the joint and living with him, he'd be pressuring him for sex four times a week. You know?
Good point.
No pressure for sex.
And yet you know how humans are with their drive to get a relationship. There's got to be an erotic component to that drive.
Yeah, but all you get is sort of the cuddling part.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Right.
And then here's what you get then as a woman. You get the cuddling component and you get the pure fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, first off, he was framed.
Yeah.
Secondly, he's a great guy.
He's a special. Only I appreciate
Thirdly,
this.
Thirdly, all he does is think about me morning, noon, and night.
Or no other girls are going to get at him?
No.
Or he's not going to get at them anyway.
No.
I'm sure he'll find a way.
Once in a while, and then when they study these cases, what happens is the guy gets out eventually. He moves in with them. It lasts for 6 months, and he splits.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. And it's not going to work for either one of them once he gets out.
Right. He first of all, he's a cheater or some kind of sociopath. So what's
well, he's in the
around?
Joint. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not sticking around, and she can't handle a relationship. So it's not going to work.
Well, think about this. It's like fish can't survive in the air and we can't survive under the water.
There you go.
They have a relationship that is unlike anything. They never see each other, whatever.
They get conjugal visits.
Nah, I don't think. Some of them do, some of them don't.
What?
They don't all. They can get married. A lot of them get married in the joint.
But don't get conjugal. I think that's what gets them the conjugal visits.
Explain their marriage. Like, well, what was your wedding cake? Was a Twinkie from the vending machine. Although, who's dumber? Me, who paid $3,500 for a photographer?
Thank you.
Some pictures I've never seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And then I get this one. Oh, that's cheap. It is? Yeah, it's cheap. For pictures? Yeah. It's not a film crew shooting a documentary. A 1 year with Adam Carolla. It's four hours with Adam drinking a beer and doing the Macarena. Yeah, $3,500, cheap. And there's always one a-hole friend of theirs that paid way too much.
Oh yeah,
Connie Canetti, $6,500. I'm supposed to feel good. Listen, Kobe bought his wife a ring for $8 million. There's always someone who was stupid and paid more.
Right. Yes.
Connie from work? Yeah. Her cake?
$1,200.
$23,000. It's all right. Oh, so my cake's only $13,000. I dodged a bullet.
But back
don't
to
worry.
The,
they're going to wear this dress
the Twinkie.
Again.
Don't these guys get married in order to have conjugal visits?
Here's the thing with the conjugal visits. As far as I know, it varies a little bit. Some of them get
different
it.
States,
some of them.
Different states.
Yeah.
Different.
And depending on what they're in for and some things like that. And it used to be different. Guys used to sire kids from the joint. Manson family members used to have kids in the joint.
Yeah.
And this all came up a few moments ago when Drew was talking about Scott Peterson getting his marriage proposals. But I was sitting over at Kimmel today and I was looking at the newspaper and, you know, it's a big deal. Oh, he got the death penalty. Oh, he's going to fry in hell. Yeah. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, the guy who was scaring the crap out of me when I was in high school. Hey, he's still on death row.
20 years ago.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. Yeah. There's a large group of people. I mean, look, if this is a deli, you got a guy who's got a number. You got a guy who's got number 15. You just pulled number 138, and he's had number 15 for 25 years.
That's right.
You figure you're next?
Yeah.
According to my math, Scott Peterson is going to die of liver spots before he gets the lethal injection. And here's the other thing, too. Evidently, now these guys get their choice.
Oh, how they go?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I would just kill them with, like, compressed air. I just put an air hose right up their ass. Blow them up. Like, popped. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. I was thinking
what
about...
What did you do?
I would. I'd kill them with compressed air. I was thinking about a lot of things, which is these guys are going to die via lethal injection. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's listening to the show is going to die eventually, and I guarantee it's all going to be more miserable than lethal injection.
For sure. Because
there's going to be horrific...
We can't do that to normal people. We can't do that for
that,
you.
That's what I was saying. Ironically, there are people dying of Lou Gehrig's disease right now who are waiting for Kevorkian to get out of the joint so they can get a lethal injection and go down. Meanwhile, Scott Peterson's being punished. We're going to die in horrific accidents,
don't
slowly through cancer.
Don't do mushrooms and have this thought.
It's too late. I'm freaked out already. Do you realize we live in a society where Dr. Kevorkian is in the joint for giving people lethal injections, people who wanted it, people who chose to end their life because of their debilitating diseases, and everyone's freaked out about Scott Peterson.
By the way, why didn't he speak up? I didn't do it. You would think if he didn't do it or even wanted to put on a facade about not having done it.
Seemed like he did it.
You know what I mean? He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, I didn't do it.
Yeah. He's a man. But here's the other thing, too. As I was looking through the paper today, I was realizing that, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, is still in the joint. That crazy Vietnamese guy, Ning, his last name is like NG. Huh. Leave it to the Viet Cong to come up with NG for a last name. But his last name is named after a spark plug. The point is this the guy who had the torture cabin who brought the 11 people there, including the two kids, and would just bring them into the middle of the woods and bring them down to the basement and just sort of film them and torture them and torture them and film them for months and, just keep them captive, the crazy ghoulish stuff. And then what's his name? The guy who killed Polly Klaus, that animal.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was, on the stand telling Polly's dad that she wanted it.
Oh, yeah.
I know. He's waiting. Everyone's waiting. We can't kill anybody. We hand out the death sentence. We just can't actually
in the meantime, they just sit and taking some sun on the bayfront there in San Quentin.
Look, we got to kill these guys. We got to kill these guys because we said we're going to kill these guys. That's the law. I mean, we gave them the death sentence. Let's give them the death sentence. If we're going to give it to them, I mean, until the law changes, we have laws for other things. We have laws for drugs. We have laws for speeding. They're on the books. You get a speeding ticket, you don't just that. I'm not going to be paying that. You get popped for possession of narcotics. You don't go, they'll never. They're never going to catch up to me. That'll be 50 years before they do anything. No, they're on top of everything. Why don't we just kill these guys? Or let's decide that we shouldn't kill them and not sentence them to death. They're sentenced to death. And the real reason we need to kill these guys, other than they deserve... Well, here's the other thing. It's like, where's your humanity? Hey, these guys tortured 11 people.
Yeah.
Where's your humanity?
Right.
That's my question.
Right. I'm with you on that.
I'm more human than you are. Right. I want to kill the guy who killed this kid's son. The daughter, the mother, who raped the 11-year-old, pulled her out of her house, raped her, and killed her up in the hills. You think you're more human than me because you want him to live? How dare you? I'm a bad person? And by the way, let's use your strategy. We never should have killed any Germans in World War II. Well, sure, they marched 6 million Jews off to the gas chamber. We should have went over there and reasoned with them. Oh, we're just as bad as they are. We killed them. We're not just as bad as they are. They killed a bunch of Jews, so we went over there and killed them. But that's not just as bad. That's 10 million times as good. That's better than people that don't kill them. Yes?
Yes.
You got Germans. They march Jews off to an oven and they kill them. There's one group that sits around and does nothing. There's another group who goes over there and kills the Germans. Now you tell me which group's better.
The ones that kicks a little ass.
Obviously. So, do the math to the guy who tortures 11 people in this underground chamber.
You know well.
Thank you.
We cannot judge.
That's impossible.
We cannot
judge.
Because they just had their way. That was just their culture to be frying people. And we cannot judge.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. According these pussies, according to your math, we shouldn't do anything ever. Well, let them do their thing. We can't get involved. Again, you march a bunch of Jews to an oven, and we kill you. We're just as bad as you are.
Well,
We're worse. We're a billion times better. How dare all of you? Let's just kill these guys. They killed somebody. We kill them. Not every life is precious. Let's just start from there. We got billions of people on the planet. Let's just snuff out a few troublemakers. We should be snuffing out troublemakers. Troublemakers bring down trade centers. Troublemakers blow up buses in Tel Aviv. Troublemakers take 9-year-olds and rape them and kill them. We need to kill those people. Let's do it. I'll give you guys an even better hypothetical. Close your eyes right now. Picture a world where everybody, every terrorist, every serial killer, every psychopath, everybody who thought about taking some cheerleader out to the desert and raping her and killing her, decided to rape your 9-year-old and bury him in a shallow grave, and every terrorist who wanted to fly a plane into the Pentagon. Imagine if they all just magically evaporated right now. They just evaporated. Boom!
Well,
evaporated.
Because we showed them love and attention.
No,
and
no, I'm saying they just disintegrated right now. What kind of utopia? Could you imagine the collective sigh of relief from the world's people? Wouldn't that be would take to the streets and cheer? Mm-hmm. You'd sleep with your door open at night. So, let's use that same math and apply it to the vermin.
Yeah,
that's in the joint. Thank you.
Agreed.
All right.
There we go.
Drew's with me.
Yeah.
Vengeance. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, number one, I had a relationship about 2 years ago. And, it went very, very badly. He got into cocaine, and he started fantasizing about what it'd be like to give another guy a job. Mm-hmm. He started using my vibrator.
Hold on, but that's just gay. That's you don't do blow.
Okay.
And then start fantasizing about giving a guy a BJ. You're just gay in the first place.
Right.
Well, he was like the ultimate macho guy, guys. He was like a weightlifter and all this stuff, a bouncer. I mean, he was hardcore.
It's called overcompensation.
Yeah, the, what they call him, the bear type?
Yeah, you saw the Village People.
Yeah.
a lot of muscles and leather.
Oh,
sure. Cool. Where do you think the leather fag was born from? Chaps and vests, no shirt,
I was
bushy mustache.
For 3 years, so, I mean, it was kind of a big surprise.
Well, what's your question?
Well, I kind of have a long history of frying pan to the fire, and I'm having kind of a hard time. It's been 2 years, and I haven't ever dated anyone since then. And I'm just, how do you get past that? You know, how do you get past that in your head? How do you not look at another guy and go, you know, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, you gotta recalibrate your radar a little bit, and then you have to trust.
But by the way, every single woman, every single man on earth does this to a woman.
Yeah. We're all leather fags who get coked up and blow our friends.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing
sporting the chaps right now.
Variable in this that is a constant is you, and that you should be careful of who you're attracted to.
Well,
I know this guy
had problems. I don't debate that at all. But I mean, the guys don't come up to you and say, "Hi, I'm a freak." You know, I mean, it's not like that. You know,
here's the deal: you're attracted to them, so you ought to be careful. If you're attracted to them, there's going to be a problem.
How do you know the difference? They show up like, you know.
I'll tell you how you know the difference. You sit on the planet for 27 years.
Oh,
you keep your eyes
on
and ears open.
Oh, you know. I'll
quit your rap. She's rappy.
Well, she got a lot of stuff going on. You scratch under the surface there.
We're getting back to you, Jennifer. Yeah. Don't hang up. But we haven't talked about this in a long time, Drew, which is all you have as a human being is your ability to sort of judge, even though we can't judge, and make sense of, and, I hate to say it, but to profile.
Oh, sure.
That's what you have, whether it's a friend, a colleague, a boss. I mean, here's the deal. If you have a life where you enter into business agreements with unscrupulous types who rip you off, when you enter into marriages or relationships with people that cheat on you and stab you in the back, and where you have friendships with people that cheat on you and stab, think about that life. It's ruined.
Mm-hmm.
It's the definition of a horrible life.
Right.
You buy a car from a guy who sold you a piece of junk. You buy land that's covered with swamp water.
Yeah, so.
You get in a relationship with someone who cheats on you and does coke and steals your money.
So how do you change that?
I don't know how you tell people to sort of understand people. But one thing you can't do is walk around sort of bewildered and announce that everyone is horrible.
Right. No, you can't do that. You can also look at your own patterns and understand them. You can say, every time I'm attracted to a guy, he turns out to be a drug addict or an a-hole.
Can you just say, every time I'm attracted to a guy, do you just have to start with that,
Every time I get attracted to a guy.
It would work the same if you just went, every time I'm attracted to a guy.
You're right.
All right.
But I say,
Huh. Okay. Jennifer?
Yeah.
I don't know how you got to 27 years of age and missed so much.
I haven't dated. Every single guy I dated hasn't been that way. It hasn't
Fantastic.
Been that way.
Well, there you go. Now you're answering your own question.
But it never lasted as long as Pat.
Pat, ironically named Pat.
Oh, come on.
Was your dad a...
Where's your dad? Is he a biker?
Yeah.
No.
What's he do?
My dad? He's a retired vet.
Retired vet?
Yeah.
Veterinarian?
No, veteran.
Military?
Yeah.
Okay.
Retired vet.
What
does that mean?
Well, I don't know if there is such... I think it's a little redundant.
Yeah, if you were a fighter pilot, you'd say he was a retired fighter pilot.
What did he do in the military?
He worked exotic fuels in the Air Force.
And how long ago did he retire?
Oh, it's been a long time. He didn't retire from that. He retired... And he's a vet. He's been a welder. He's done it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he never had a motorcycle?
Oh, I've been on him.
Did he have motorcycles?
No.
No, he didn't.
Dad didn't. Okay.
What kind of welder doesn't have a bike?
The kind that works in diesel and trailers and stuff like that.
Ooh, all right. So this is a white trash guy.
Yeah. Oh, no one say that. That's my dad.
I know, but he can be white trash. Listen, my dad's a pussy.
My dad's a tough guy. He's a tough guy.
Did he beat you up growing up?
Hold on a second. Yeah, white trash guys usually don't just wear like a prayer shawl and try to solve things with words.
They're not like Pat.
Well, they are, kind of. I mean, they got the weightlifting. Yeah, hey, your dad's a white trash. No. Come on, he was a tough guy. Yeah. He's a welder, tough guy. It's called white trash. Yeah.
Guys,
Jennifer.
I basically raised myself, okay? You know, I've been on the bikes. I've been around bikers. You know,
Why did you have to raise yourself?
I did get the biker thing coming out of her for some reason.
Because you guys brought it up.
Why did you...
All right,
Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Why did you raise yourself if your parents are such great people?
Huh?
If your parents are such great people, why did you have to raise yourself?
Oh, I didn't say they were... Okay, look. I developed a relationship with my parents in the last few years. You know, it's not that they were always there, but they're there now.
Were you in foster care or something?
No.
All right. Do you have any kids?
No.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now we're best friends.
Fertility problems.
you have fertility problems?
No.
Okay. Not just know.
No, Jennifer. Except for the fact that I don't date.
All right, baby. Here's what I'm going to need you to do. I need you to stop listening to your crappy music, get away from your crappy motorcycles, and change your life a little bit.
I need
to start learning about human beings.
Yes.
You have no idea what I know a lot about human beings. I know a lot about them, enough that, you know, I don't date them.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. That's like a hyena knows a lot about...
Yeah. It's like saying, I know how dangerous food is, so I don't eat.
Right.
Fantastic. We'll see you in the grave.
You had a point. I'm sorry.
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. First off, stop announcing you know everything when it doesn't seem like you, by your own admittance, trust anybody or know anything about any of the guys you meet. Number two, realize that all guys aren't like old biker Pat. And number three, get a job and fight to keep it. I just said that because I was out of stuff.
Your horrible family of origin stuff is coming to bear here. That's why you can't trust your instincts.
Right. Okay. Your family was crappy. You don't know that much. It's time to listen to a little classical music and take a walk. Stop worrying about your next set of chaps, your next hat, and find yourself a guy who's a little bit boring.
Yeah.
Stay away from the biker, rambling guy.
Oh, yeah. No rambling.
You'll be fine. All right. Now, the thing that's weird is I brought up biker. I thought her dad was a biker.
No, I got biker from her,
but
too.
But biker was coming off her.
I was hearing ZZ Top music.
Yeah. I was hearing, like, Steppenwolf in the background and her just a whole montage of her going through the desert on a hog. But it's an interesting thing, and not that, you need a crystal ball to figure out who's a biker, but we don't talk to any biker chicks, and she never... brought it up or anything, it comes through.
Yeah.
And it's not just in a tonally, it just comes through.
Attitude, yeah.
I don't even know, though, but here's the thing.
I got attitude.
But we get attitude all goddamn night. Yeah, it's not biker.
It's a certain kind of attitude.
But here's the thing. This is the thing that's interesting to me about the human brain, which is your brain is doing millions of computations a second.
Right.
Constantly trying to figure out what it's dealing with and what's in front of it.
Right.
This is why I always laugh when they say no profiling.
Right.
Because your brain is just constantly...
That's how it works.
It's like one of those computers when they put that DNA in and they try to find a match.
Right, right.
And it goes to every other computer. So when you talk to somebody, your brain is just trying to find a match.
Yep.
All the people you've ever spoken
to
in your life.
Right. That's absolutely true.
And then it doesn't... Now, there's no absolutes because it's not... It's not a perfect science or a perfect system. But what ends up happening is that something starts swelling in you, and for some reason the word biker comes into my head.
Yeah.
I don't know why, and it's not perfect, so I think her dad was a biker.
You got to remember that the way we respond to other circumstances emotionally is sort of in blocks. You know, we're sort of taking the tone, the attitude, this, and we're sort of creating a sort of a gestalt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gestalt creates associations in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the associations are ZZ Top, trailers, desert, hogs. Pow, she's a biker.
Mm-hmm. Like gestalt's like an overall picture.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you. All right. If Engineer Chris was here, his head would explode. Gestalt. We could ask him who gestalt
it's
was.
It's like an aha experience. Aha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, If you ask Engineer Chris what Gestalt is, he'll tell you it's a German telling you to stop.
Huh? Gestalt or after you sneeze.
Yes.
Something like a German says.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line.
Just put a camera in here an hour before we start and have them film you.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Engineer.
Engineeress. Her name?
Yeah, Michelle. Engineer Michelle is on the computer looking up some nice death.
I know. What are you doing,
things.
Michelle?
Firing squads.
I was just curious to see how each state,
Yeah. Lethal injection.
Is the majority. Yeah.
Not satisfying.
No, it's
Look,
not.
Lethal
Florida has the electric chair.
Lethal injection is what you do to a cherished family pet whose dysplasia has kicked into such a stage where she can't make it out of her bed anymore and is crapping on herself. Yep. And this is the humane thing to
do. What you would like to do sometimes to people that are suffering in their diseases.
Yes. This is not punishment. A punishment is, like I said, it's the compressed air, it's the M80. You know, here's
M80 up the ass, is that the one?
Anywhere, yeah, but up the ass is good. Yeah. Here's a better way of doing it for me. I like, I would say, here's what I like. Look, we're going to let you go free. We're going to kill you sometime in the next 5 years.
Nice.
Now, that could be tomorrow. Or that could be in 4 years, 364 days.
A little death row lottery.
And we're not going to tell you how we're going to kill you. So every time you start your car, you can think about it. Every time you stand by the window at night with the light on, you can think about it. Like, we could put a bullet in your head. Yeah. We could blow up your car. We'll have a guy stab you with an ice pick. Either way, sometime in the next 5 years, we're going to put you down. Go and enjoy. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. And when I'm in charge, that's the way we'll do it. Yeah.
Them's your toys.
Good Schwarzenegger movie. The killer guyer. Yeah. What do you got there, Drew?
Oh, I have a thing for my Discovery Channel show. It's we're looking for Loveline callers that want to go on television to discuss sexual secrets that they're hiding from their partners or fears.
Who the hell's going to do that?
I know. Fears or aversions that prevent them from having a sexual life. At least we have, you know, people are afraid of going down. People are afraid of having oral sex. People are afraid of
There's like
the penis,
there's germ guys.
Stuff. There's people having the period freaks them out. All these sort of things. And we will have you on television to talk about it if you want.
Remember what I sound like going down and so on with my deviated septum?
It's a lovely sound.
Yeah. So you guys can breathe
through
your nose.
It really should be one of the settings on those little devices that
help you sleep from the sharper image.
Yeah, you have ocean.
You
want to
hear the babbling brook,
rainforest.
You hear Adam going down and so on.
Sweet, restful sound.
Yeah,
nice.
You know, I got one of those noisemakers.
I think I got it for you.
Oh, really?
Long
Maybe
time
you did.
Ago.
Well, you got me some headphones.
Okay.
Let me say this. All right, hold on. I got a lot of things to say about headphones, but I got that noisemaker.
Yeah.
And I used to put on the rain one. Sound like rain.
Yeah.
Except for I would lay there in bed and I would hear when it would repeat, which was only about every 7 or 8 seconds. It has a chip in it, obviously, that does not. They don't just go record 26 hours of rain. They record. Can hold, 10 seconds of a rain sound, and then it...
There's some little cricket that repeats or something.
It starts to develop a pattern, and it's not every 5 minutes, it's every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I started picturing the pattern, fixating on the pattern, and then it became more annoying than nothing.
That's
I
bad.
I would hear the pattern
That's
in
bad
it.
Time. So we need to come up with a better widget here. Come up with a machine that repeats every 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine with that.
What about the headphones?
All I'm saying is Drew got me a pair of these Bose noise-canceling headphones some years back for birthday or something. They're excellent, except for after using them three times, one of the ears went bad. You know, nothing came out of one of the ears. Then I do what I do, which is I then put it in the closet for a year and a half, and then eventually get around to calling the Bose people, and they tell you the warranty is voided, even though
I get you the new ones.
No, I got the new ones.
They're better.
They're better. But here's my point. Then I got another pair of these Sennheiser ones that work real nice, except for that one of those ear things went bad. And then you get the ones that come with the Walkman or the iPod. And if you jog around enough and sweat enough, that one goes bad. And like I said, my wife just tossed these $200 ones because one of the ears went bad. There's got to be a way to fix these headphones when the ear gets crappy, because there's nothing wrong with the thing. It's just that it's that bad,
wire,
that weird
bad
connection
yeah.
down where it goes in, where it plugs into the iPod or into the socket. It's nothing. Can somebody either do a repair place or devise ones that don't break, or I don't know what it is, but I throw away brand new and tons of earphones every year, and there's really nothing wrong with them but a bad connection. Thank you, Huel. All right,
here we go.
Drew, do you experience that?
Yes, and I'm very appreciative of the new ones. The number two, the second new version of the Bose headphones has a release thing.
It
doesn't yank. It just pulls out. The whole thing comes out.
Smart. Yeah. Rochelle.
Hello.
19.
Yeah.
Why do people freak out? Boyfriend, she's a lesbian.
Because.
Oh, because, I see. Why do people freak out because you're a lesbian? They act weird around you. Yes?
Yeah, like girls act all like snobby, you know, and think it's gross, but then guys love it.
Yeah.
That's not acting weird.
That's just how they act. But why are you telling them you're a lesbian?
Well, I don't just go around telling everybody, but I have a girlfriend, you know, so they know.
All right.
I don't hide it, you know.
You're right. Do you make out in public, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
All right. You're a lesbian. Well, maybe people react when heterosexual couples do that. Then naturally enough, they'd react when the same sex do it.
Here's the thing, Rochelle. They hang out with different people.
Here's what Adam's getting at.
I know it's not satisfying to you because you like making a stir.
Right, that's what Adam's getting at. This stuff you bring upon yourself.
Everybody,
you want it that
everybody
way.
Who doesn't like all the attention they get loves all the attention they get.
Well, whether they love it or not, they create it.
When I say loves, I just mean you need it.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing. You can be a big celebrity lesbian and not have any problems if you conduct your life a certain way.
Quietly, yes.
It's kind of interesting. Think about the celebrities that are huge that you just never see anywhere. You never hear them written about anything.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Take someone like Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
You never see him in any trades. You never see him on any late night shows. He's just a huge celebrity that you never hear about anything about in any way, shape, or form, really.
You know what I was thinking we don't hear about?
He's not chained to a bulldozer the nuclear power plant.
The woman that plays Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kate Blanchett. She's a spectacular actress, very busy.
I've read stuff.
Oh, what'd she do?
Shut up!
Oh, is she lesbian?
Well, no, she's just done a lot of indie films where she plays a lesbian.
No, so. I understand that, but she and you never
she's straight.
You never hear about her out and about ever.
Yeah, I know, but all right, but she's not a household name. Nice actress, good actress, great actress.
That Academy Award winning.
She did win. Yeah. What? You know, it was 2 months ago.
Jodie Foster's
another good one, which is, you hear some dyke jokes. But the point is you don't see her on anything. You don't see her in any tabloids. You don't see pictures of her. She's not out making a scene. There's no red carpet. All I'm saying is if you want to fly under the radar, you can.
Yeah.
If A-list celebrities can make it under the radar, lesbians from Missouri can squeak under, too.
There you go.
So if that's what you really want, that's what you have to do. And yes, sometimes it's not right that you get judged, but who cares? Stay away. Stay out of the people.
She didn't say that people were disparaging her. She said they just were sort of acting. They were, guys were into it.
She was going down that road.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Next one. Joel or Joel?
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 Caller who goes by Joel?
22.
Oh.
Something happened to Joel. Let's talk to... Is that a female Lee?
Lee, yeah.
Lee?
Yes.
21?
Uh-huh.
What's up, Perky?
What's up?
Yeah.
Really late.
You sound hot, though.
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty hot.
Yeah. All right.
Well, actually, I was calling to get some advice about my little sister. Mm-hmm. She,
You talking about your vagina?
What?
No, keep going. Keep going.
Okay. She got sexually abused by our stepdad when she... Uh-oh.
Sorry, very.
Did that happen to you, too?
No. Oh, no.
Just your vagina?
I was probably too old. Let's see. They got married when I was, like, 12 or 13.
All right. So what's going on? What's the question?
But she was 13. Well, like, actually, it was a little bit before her 13th birthday. And, it was, like, this big thing. She, like, told her school, and everything. Like, we had attorneys. But, of course, it, got pushed under the table. They got good attorneys and never talked about it after that.
What's up now? What's the question?
I don't understand that part.
I know.
She's 17 now, and about 10 months ago, she was over at one of her friend's house, and my stepdad hit her in her face. In front of a lot
of
people.
The same guy that sexually abused her?
Yes, my mom didn't believe him. My mom's crazy.
God.
By the way, that's huevos.
Yeah.
You get popped for sexually abused. Like,
stay with that guy, and then the guy becomes physically abusive? Wow.
I know.
All right, what's the question?
Okay, so she's out of the house. She put herself into, the state custody, and they kind of looked into it. And they saw, reason that she didn't need to be there. And all this time, I'm 21 now. I had a baby when I was 17 and got out of the house and didn't really talk to her much because...
I'm going way out on a limb here. Jews.
Yeah.
I know a Jew when I hear a Jew. Lee?
I am not a Jew.
What? What? Stepfather's a rabbi, right?
You've got to guess that I am. You can probably guess.
Your stepdad's Jewish, right?
No, he's not any religion.
Oh, my God.
He's just pure evil.
My goodness. I'll tell you, sometimes I'm right on, but other
Mormon.
Times.
Mormon.
Wow.
Shocking.
That's even wilder. Are you a Mormon?
Man, not really. I don't even understand the whole part about your stepfather molesting your sister and her ratting him out in the school and everything, and then somehow high-powered, Johnny Cochran flies into Arkansas, and all of a sudden he's walking.
Are you a Mormon?
Okay, so she's out of the house, kind of...
So both of you ran away, basically both of you ran away from home into some sort of marriage or relationship or pregnancy to get out of this abusive... And what's your question?
My question is, she's 17, she's dropped out of high school, wanting to go to beauty college, and I'm really... I did not want her to do that. I dropped out of high school. I'm back in college now, though, and I know how important high school is now. And I really tried to talk to her and say, you need to stay there. But
okay, let me say this, Lee. You know my feelings as a proud reject from the warehouse known as North Hollywood High. Some people get a lot out of high school. Others are just sort of warehoused, making connections, eating, socializing. Going to guess your sister's the latter. She's being warehoused there. Let her go to beauty school. Let her learn a trade. Let her get licensed.
No, that's good. That's really good that she's going. That's just a part of my question. But anyway, she has this boyfriend that's just this worthless guy. I mean, you can just tell that he's
shocking.
Not going to be anything. Yeah. And she's wanting to get married to him. And I've already been down that road, and I can just see what's going
to
happen.
Lee, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
I think you need to support her in her beauty school endeavor.
Yes.
As far as your boyfriend goes.
So at least when this thing falls apart, she'll have a way of supporting
herself.
Yes,
you're not going to be able to talk her out of her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But here's what you
listen,
have.
Listen, she was sexually abused. She was physically abused.
You have to get her on birth control.
Yeah, she is.
Number two in therapy, if possible.
Possible. But priority, job one,
no
pregnancy. Don't get pregnant.
Yeah, job one.
Job two, stay in...
beauty college.
Beauty college. Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
No one's laughing about speaking of the Jews today. They always think about the death row. You get your last meal. I would go with the... bottomless salad bowl, by the way, which would just go on forever. Now I'm going to refill. I'm going to fill up on one of them cherry tomatoes, and I want some of those miniature corn things that no one likes.
Nice.
And more beets. But, you know, it's funky, too, when you get to the bottom of the hard-boiled egg and there's just the crumbs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I like when they're up top where you can tell what they were.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you eat your last meal. Then, you know, you make your peace. You have your priest. The priest comes in, and then it's off to the chair. But never hear about the rabbi coming in. Think about that. Ever hear about the rabbi coming in?
Can't say that I have.
All right, let's just do that math, everybody. Never. You never hear, like, yeah, yeah. John, Jesse, James, Walker, Goldfarb ate his last meal of gefilte fish. And lox actually said gefilte fish was a little dry. Anyway, he was complaining. I met with the rabbi, then a another little kugel nosh, and then right to the chamber. And they never hear about the guy with the rabbi. I don't even know if there are rabbis. There's plenty of there's plenty of priests in prison. I don't know if they have to go.
What happens in Israel?
There's priests. I think I don't know. You have to go out of the country to get a rabbi into a. Where do you get a rabbi? I don't think a lot. Texas, it's going to be hard to find it. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying. Everyone, do the math.
Just saying.
Can't judge. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yowza, yowza, yowza. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. A little show called Liveline. Just talking about the death sentence and death penalty and all that. Robert Blake was on this show.
I know. I remember that.
Yeah. Not saying he killed his wife, but we've seen a lot of people on this show.
Yeah.
And outside of, well, it was him and Fiona Apple, the ones I realized were capable of doing damage to other human beings.
Fiona Apple.
Yeah. Tough cookie, that one. She's tough. All 4'9" of her.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, you know, this is not Byron Allen blows wind up the ass of B-list celebrities, this show. This is Adam Carolla blows wind up the ass of C-list celebrity show.
Right, and threatens to explode people with blowing air up their ass.
Oh, good connection, Drew. Yeah, but here's my point. People come on this show, they sit here for 2 hours, they answer questions, they forget. That's why there's so much cussing going on.
Right.
They forget they're on the radio or even talking to anybody.
Right.
And I like to think that we get to go places, which sounds pompous and ridiculous, but when we talk, when people come on the show, depending on how many beers they have and how much they want to open up, you get a pretty good look at who you're sitting across for 2 hours. It's not a 6-minute overly produced segment on Conan.
Right.
Blake was in here, got a little glimpse.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's seen some things, done some things, and might do a few more things.
It was a 10,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was a freaky dude.
Yeah.
Definitely damaged goods. Well, by his own admission.
Oh, did he talk? I don't remember him talking about
that. His dad used to lock him in the closet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Remember we were over in Culver City and he was pointing at the hotel and saying that's where we used to do Little Rascals and the studio was right over here.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
My old man locked me in the closet.
Yeah, yeah. Oof.
Huh? Just to wave a gun around and stuff like that. He told some stories that were...
Scary.
Chilling at best.
You remember what he was promoting?
He was...
It's a book or something?
Yeah, it was... What was he promoting? It may have been something about... No, you know what it was? Money Train with Woody Harrelson. Yes! Now who's high, Drew?
A movie?
I'm high.
Wow. Who's high?
I'm high?
Wow.
Woody Harrelson's high.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that movie Money Train?
No.
You're going to remember.
Really?
Yeah. It was,
Michelle's looking it up.
It was a little comeback. It was a little comeback thing for Blake. He played like the commissioner or something. Woody Harrelson was like a bank robber, subway kind of thing. Well, maybe Wesley Snipes was in it. Anderson, did you say something?
Here you go. Wesley Snipes. Jennifer Lopez.
Wow.
Oh.
Yes.
No Woody Harrelson?
Huge hit.
Woody Harrelson, huge yes.
All right. Well, I didn't see it, but I should get huge props.
You should.
Pull that one out of my ass.
1995.
Oh, my God. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks. High five.
There you go.
Yeah. And now make believe when I do with myself. Yeah, Drew. Yeah. Second one. All right. What the hell? Let's talk to Money Train. What the hell did I get that?
That's pretty good.
I can't remember my own address. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. Well, I've been with this guy for about a year and a half. And, I mean, it's a pretty good relationship. And before him, I was kind of off and on with this one guy. And pretty much with us, it was just kind of like sex, but I really cared about him. And we both cheated on our exes with each other. Mm. And now, it is strict, mainly sex. And now he's come, like, he's talking to me again. And I'm really kind of confused because it's like I kind of think of the relationship that we could have had.
All right, here's the deal. This is the guy you're totally into. You're completely infatuated, but he's a bad guy. He's a troubled guy. It's going to be a troublesome relationship. You can go ahead and leave your current boyfriend. Don't just cheat with the guy. If you're going to cheat, leave your current boyfriend. All right, and then go ahead and try this, but this is not going to work out. Good luck. You need to learn. You need to try. You need to figure this stuff out. But this is going to be chaos, this relationship.
Right, don't get pregnant.
It's what you're attracted to right now, but it's how you're going to learn how these things don't work.
Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson.
Amazing.
And what's his name? Yeah, Blake, making a comeback. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. So engineer Michelle gives me a little statistic, which was in California, where Scott Peterson was sentenced to die. Seven out of, since 1977, have been put down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep. It's less than one every 3 years. Or, yeah. Yeah, that is less than that. Yeah. So getting close to about 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Right at 4 years. Yep. So one guy goes down every 4 years. So Scott's got a lot of guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
He'll be there for a while.
Yeah.
He'll be, do not worry, ladies.
He'll be available for some time.
Scotty's not going anywhere. He will be fielding and responding every marriage proposal he gets. Don't worry. You will get a return letter. Yeah. Fantastic.
Ish.
It might be bad publicity, but I'd like to marry him. How about that?
Be interesting.
It would be interesting, and I would do that thing like... you people don't know Scott. You don't know what we have. And I can't even explain
him.
It to you. You don't understand him.
What we have is something private. We can't even talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
But I know what
I know a side of Scott that you all don't know. You know the fetus killer side. Not me. I know a different side.
I know that side.
I was like, well, they have to explain it like when they get the BTK killer and they talk to the guy who was in his Weebolo troop with him for 22 years. No, I didn't know that side of it. No, you didn't. You didn't know the side that tortured and killed. No, no, you didn't. No. Nope, the side of him that I knew. Yeah, yeah. Father. I know. God-fearing man. Church leader. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know. It was explaining that part. No one ever goes... what's wrong with you? How thick you gotta be? I think if I had a buddy who was, you know, dismembering people and, you know, killing hookers and stuff
probably
like that,
no.
I get a little inkling.
Yeah.
Hey,
or you wouldn't hang out with them.
I'd get a bad, my spidey sense would start tingling at a certain point.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, looks like there's a hooker's arm hanging out of the trunk of your Civic. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we gotta make that Weebolo troop meeting. Let's get rolling. And it's right off to the, we got to get to work on the dunk tank we're doing for the church fundraiser this weekend. Let's get going. Fantastic. All right. No one ever busts the chops of these guys. Yeah, he was my best friend for 27 years. People are like.
Yeah. Didn't know.
People always like, there's sort of like this. Yeah, BTK killers. My best friend for 30 years. We're thick as thieves. We went camping. We went fishing there. And everyone's like, wow, it's got to be heartbreaking. Yeah, disappointing, too. Yeah. No one ever goes, are you effing high?
Yeah, you should be guilty of omission yourself.
Something. How thick? What are you? What are you, a raccoon?
Yeah.
You're a human being? Well, but first off, talk about recalibrating your radar. This guy's your best buddy? What's that say about you?
Ugh.
Are you some kind of idiot? Like, no one ever does that. Everyone's just like very sort of. There was like a lot of reference. Oh,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and then they always ask that question. Imagine that. Here he is being your best buddy and your fishing pal, and then he's going off and killed. Could you ever imagine? No, I had no. And this is one guy with just the balls to go, I didn't think he was doing it, but I'm not surprised to hear it. This is some guy to say that.
Well, some of the neighbors were kind of saying stuff like that about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, this is an awful guy. They're saying this guy's a horrible guy.
Yeah.
Troublemaker.
Yeah, best buddy.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is, you know what I want to do is I want to find this guy, his best buddy. Let's follow him around and see who he hooks up with next.
I was just going
to
say.
I'd like to check that
guy
out.
Or what he's up to in his off time. One or the other.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still looking for people who are hiding sexual secrets from their partners. I want to talk about it on television. And sexual fears or aversions that prevent people from having good relationships sexually.
What kind of sexual secrets would you hide?
I don't know. I'm with fantasies, that kind of thing, I imagine, or preferences that they're afraid to ask for. We're not looking for anything weird. We're just looking for kind of things that people do.
Mm. Marie?
Hello?
25?
Yeah.
What's up?
I haven't seen this guy now for about 4 months, and the other day he was working on something, and he hit himself in the balls with a ball-peen hammer.
Say that again. He what?
He hit himself in the balls with a ball-peen hammer.
It's so poetic the way she says that.
It is.
The emphasis, though, on the balls was so interesting the first time she said it.
Yeah, she's like Maya Angelou.
Like she was going to burst out in laughter.
Yeah. You know what a ball-peen hammer is, Drew?
No.
Wow.
Is that the one with the little knobby kind of?
Yeah.
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 Hey.
Yeah.
Well, right, I was buddy.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself.
What was he doing? He does metal work?
Michelle, of course, knows what that is.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He works on cars.
Nice beans. Like they got old,
my dad was a carpenter.
Old Sears catalog in their head. Yeah.
What's that, Maria?
She wants to know if it's a 16-ounce waffle end or the smooth end finish one with the claw of the hatchet back. Hey, yeah. No, Michelle's like, they have the hatchet grip or just the maple grip? Michelle was telling me during the break how she'll take her ball-peen hammer and she'll go ahead and hit it with a little 80-grit sandpaper, then rub some pine tar on the handle, get a good grip on it.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Marie, he how did he do this, or why?
I don't know why, but he hit himself with the hammer, and I was wondering if that's gonna, you know, like mess him up for the rest of his life. Or
but did he? But is this? I'm just.
I don't know about this call.
No, hold on.
What was he working on?
He's working on a car.
So it wasn't like
he was pounding out a fender, and he whacked himself in the groin. He was whacking it toward him.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
I don't know. I wasn't there. All I know is he hit himself in the balls.
Hit himself.
Hit himself.
In
the ball sack.
His self in the ball sack.
I was like when people do that thing where it's like, I wasn't there. I know, but you don't ask your husband or wife, like, what happened?
But here's the thing. He didn't, like, lay his nuts on a table and try to smash him. Some
no,
sort of
he's fine.
Back.
Okay. Did he go to the doctor?
Yeah, he went to the doctor, but he really didn't tell me much about it. I guess he's embarrassed. I don't know.
Yeah, he's fine. If they're not taking him to surgery, doing ultrasounds, it's fine.
Do you have any kids, Murray?
No.
No? What's prom? You got, like, a golf ball wedge in your fallopian tube?
No, we've only been together for 4 months.
But what about the other 100 guys?
What?
How dare you? How dare
she
you?
She got indignant. That was awesome. Hey, other boyfriends, you never been pregnant?
No.
No? Okay. That's good. Is everything work down there?
Yeah.
All right.
The best nut shot I ever saw was a guy, a patient of mine, got with a full
hockey puck.
Hockey puck. Mm. At full speed, right in the nut.
Cracked like an egg.
Just cracked right open.
Do you have any kids?
What's that?
Do you have any kids?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any kids.
I'd have one for you.
Could
Ooh,
you do
that's
that?
Nice, Murray.
Oh, you mean with me?
Yeah.
Or for
oh,
you.
Have
you
said for me. Because I'll take him. But, yeah, I'll tell you what. What do you look like? Let me see.
Hello? Blonde hair.
Blonde?
5'7".
Now, here's the thing. If it came from a peroxide bottle, it doesn't count from a gene standpoint. Natural blonde?
It's natural.
Blonde where in the ball peen area as well?
Huh?
Okay. Natural blonde, 5'7".
And I weigh 140.
All right. That's good stock. Obviously, a nice pedigree with the education. What else? What are your hobbies?
Well,
I work out a lot. And
all right.
I like to go shopping.
Shopping, that's a plus. What is your level of education?
I graduated high school, and I'm going to go to college, but I haven't yet.
All right. You wait till you get in your 30s or early 40s before you pull the trigger. And
what's one of the cup size? Isn't that your
eye color, cup size, sign?
Huh?
Eye color, cup size, sign?
I have blue eyes, and my bra size is a 36C.
Sign?
Cancer.
All right.
It's all good for you, Adam.
All good. I'm compatible with a Cancer. I'm a Gemini with an Aquarius rising in my moon house.
You're compatible with the C cup.
I'm compatible with the C cup. This could work. Any habits I need to know about? You know, Picker's syndrome. Do you cut on yourself? Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Trichotillomania.
Trichotillomania. Pull your hair out, or you shooting up with a rig every night? Any diseases we need to know about? Diabetes, things like that.
No, none.
Mm-hmm.
I love sex.
You love sex. Have you traveled outside of the country in the last 2 years?
Well, to be fair, outside of Missouri.
No.
Outside of Missouri for the last 2 years?
No.
No? You ever been to Haiti?
No.
Have you been with a prostitute in the last 5 years?
No.
Transfusion?
Nope.
Hemophilia?
Nope.
Slept with an IV drug user?
Slept with an IV drug user?
No, I don't do no drugs.
Irritable bowel syndrome?
Nope.
Slept with somebody who slept with somebody who slept with somebody who slept with somebody who slept with somebody with IV drug user?
Nope.
Are you currently on medication?
No.
Does your family have a history of heart disease or pulmonary disease?
No.
Are your parents still alive?
Yes.
Are you a smoker?
No.
No.
Would you? We'll get to your teeth. Do you drink? Would you say which one would you say is accurate? Drink never, socially, often. Or you put one of those funnels in your ass and dump pure grain bathtub gin into it every night.
Well, I'll drink sometimes and not very often because whenever I drink, I don't remember anything and I do really wild stuff.
Uh-oh. So you got an alcoholic dad or mom, right?
Huh?
You have an alcoholic mom or dad?
My dad was an alcoholic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Adam.
Mm-mm.
Now, that's a double-edged sword because that's the survivor gene. That's a good gene. It's good stock. That's why that gene's been around so long. It's people that survived in adversity brought that gene along.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that gene.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
No.
Marie?
Huh?
Marie, have you ever been convicted of a felony?
No, I haven't.
No, you have not. Oh, okay, our phone was cutting out. All right, sweetie. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and put your name in the hopper. And if we do choose your egg, we will be calling you within 20 to 25 working days, okay?
Now, is that to engage in intercourse or to just artificially inseminate? Just send your sperm out there to Missourian.
No. I'm actually going to have a model perform oral on me and then carry it in her mouth to Missouri.
Okay, and then how does it get inside Marie?
Spit, you know.
Okay.
What do you think? It's going to be tough for her to travel that way because it's going to be like, ma'am, are you carrying nail clippers? The airport security is going to be tough. And then, you know, when it comes time to order because, you know, she will be flying coach. But, you know, you want
to buy the food there.
you want the chicken ravioli or do you want the Salisbury steak? What has this show turned into, Drew?
It's not been good, whatever
it is. It's not good, whatever it turned into. John?
Yes?
22?
Yep.
Germany or Florida?
That's right. Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Hey,
John.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, police are investigating a theater group for a stage performance that included rape, lesbian sex, and masturbation. The show also contained public urinating and a video of a woman having sex with a donkey. The piece called Triple X even encouraged two audience members to come on stage and masturbate to make the production more interactive. Is it Germany or Florida?
It's Sounds Germany.
Wow. My feeling was German the whole time,
yeah.
too.
If it's Germany, they wouldn't have to investigate that. They would just consider that Saturday night.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Florida?
No, Germany.
Well, I don't get it. He said they're investigating?
Like there's some legal...
Right, right. But what was your comment?
That in Germany, that's just what they do. What would they be investigating? It would just be another Saturday night.
Right, but you said they're investigating.
I know, so I'm saying maybe that's what goes against it being Germany.
Oh, okay. Well, Drew, you got to work on your inflection, buddy. Yeah. So is it Germany or not?
I can't imagine that in Florida.
I can't either. It's too artistic for those
idiots.
So
it goes Germany, but why would they be investigating a routine German...
Don't ask why.
Endeavor.
I'm going German.
All right, Germany.
It felt German. I'm going German.
All right, me too.
John, German.
You guys are locked in with Germany, and you are correct.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
One little detail is that it was a Spanish theater group. I thought it might be a little bit misleading, but I thought it was a Spanish theater group. It might make it too obvious.
You know, Spanish, we would have thought
Florida.
Cuban or Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
We would have gone Florida.
Yeah. All right, John. God love you.
Oh, Adam, can I tell you one more thing you might find interesting?
Yeah.
Last night you were talking about the Robert Blake trial and this your vision of a lie detector. A magic lie detector.
Yeah.
There's actually a process called brain fingerprinting that's kind of in the experimental phase that you might be interested in looking up. If you could have your producer look that up.
That what tells them... I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Tells whether somebody's lying or not?
Yeah, I guess basically what they can do is they can show you an image and there's like an automatic firing of your brain waves that registers familiarity. So they can show you crime scene photos and if you recognize them.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. See?
It's not like an emotional thing. It's just like an automatic response that...
Right.
You know,
right. It's called mirror neurons, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, thank you, John.
Very interesting.
Yeah, here's the thing. When I was talking about my... lie detector that is so advanced that it puts the criminal court system completely, renders it completely obsolete. Think about the money, the stenographers, the judges, the court-appointed police, the bailiffs, just think about everything. Think about all of it.
Yeah.
Think about the whole rigmarole. And like I said, everyone is sort of operates. We are snobs in this country because other countries, we basically compete against countries, Middle Eastern countries, and we're sort of like, oh, over there, if a woman looks at another man, her husband can kill her with a stone and no one will convict her. We're so much better. Yeah, we're better than those cavemen. That's not comparing yourself, by the way. That's not much.
Yeah.
As you compare yourself to a cockroach, you know?
Right.
Yeah, our system is better than theirs. Still... so far, it seems to me that if you're a rich guy and you got enough money, you're going to get off no matter how overwhelming the evidence seems to be. And whenever you see one of these 2020 programs, they go in the joint, they start investigating these cases. It seems to be chock full of wrongdoings and slip-ups and sometimes intentional, sometimes not. Seems like you got about a 50-50 chance as far as the system we have in place. Let's get rid of it and get my lie detector in there.
One of the jocks here in Los Angeles at K-Rock, Doug the Slug, has taken lie detectors and passed it when he was lying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not that good a science just yet.
Well, also, first off, the one he took was probably some archaic thing from the 50s
that was
pulled out of some submarine
Hasbro home unit.
Yeah, I get the feeling, I mean, this polygraph thing has been around for, 50 years. I think there are newer generations and versions of it that are good. I'm saying we combine this with the functional MRI or all the brain mapping and fingerprinting, all the things we now know about the mind and the brain. And I'm not saying we have this apparatus yet. I'm saying we have the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
We focus on it like we do with anything.
Yeah.
You know, we have the computers, we have the componentry, we have the circuitry. Now let's focus on making it work. We arrive on something that puts the world scientists together. We arrive on something that works, and that becomes a new standard.
Hey, Drew.
There you go.
Yeah.
Could that mean Doug the Slug is a sociopath, maybe?
It could be.
Yeah, it doesn't really work on... Nothing works on jocks. They're all nuts.
I bet Corolla could pass them.
No.
Hey, your heart doesn't move.
No. How dare you? Who is this? Who's that talking?
We should bring in a lie detector test.
Please do.
Polygraph.
I would not pass. I don't think I'm wired much different than anybody else. Mike?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah, happy St. Patty's Day. I got a question about when I was a little kid. My cousin Carl, he molested me, I guess. I don't really have any recollection of it. What I can remember is like going to therapy. And I was just... Yeah. What I was wondering is, would that, like, affect me now, like, dealing with women and stuff?
Bogus.
Yeah, nobody buys it.
Sorry, Mike.
All right, that's fine, I guess.
Good job. Nice try.
All right.
Do you know why we know it's bogus?
Why is that?
Well, you worked your friend... You worked the name in. You worked the perp's name in.
And then there's no question.
Well, I was getting to my question, actually.
No. Oh, yeah.
All right, are you sure I can't finish, or...
Hold on, let me convene with Drew for a second. Feels bogus.
He asked the question, is it going to affect my relationship with girls or what? And he stopped. Now he says, I didn't get much of my question.
Okay, yeah. But he did say something that was interesting, which is he doesn't remember the molestation, but he does remember the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting, specific thing that would not normally be in just a bogus call.
You're right, yet he names the perpetrator the age and everything else. But I don't remember it.
This is why we need my lie detector.
Yeah.
Scott.
Wait, you took...
Let's see, yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, I would like to believe you.
So finish your question.
Your question. We promise we will answer your question, but now tell us truthfully, bogus or not?
No, it is not bogus. This really did happen to me.
All right.
See, Drew? Well, what I was just wondering is I have a tendency when I'm, like, with a girl or something, like, I can, like, get into the act, and then when it comes down to almost getting to, like, a sexual thing, I tend to, like, back out or get scared and not really be able to finish up, I guess.
And so you were sexually abused by a young male?
Yeah.
Was it a child?
When I was a child, he was he's a little older than me. So.
How old was he?
He was 12, I believe.
And what'd he do to you?
I guess he just busted my junk out and messed with it, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. You should be able to recover from that.
All right.
Especially since you got some therapy.
Yeah.
Which also means you grew up in a family that sort of, you know, was concerned and proactive and that kind of thing.
All right.
You're
16.
Don't get all up in your head. Don't get all anxious.
Yeah, find a relationship.
Find a relationship.
In.
Work it out.
Yeah.
Don't be in a rush. Get into a steady thing with a girl and find your way.
Anybody at 16 anyway. You'll get so attached, it'll be a disaster.
And that's you, Mike. There are other guys who can handle it.
Yeah. No. Very few. 17 is different than 16.
I'm thinking of the brothers.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They can handle it. White man not ready at 16. Brother man ready at 12.
Take a break.
I want to say hi to Scott. Hi. Scott?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, good. How much?
You're 20.
I just have a question for you. I'd like to get your opinions, Dr. Drew, since you are a doctor, and Adam, since you are the voice of reason, I would like to get your opinions on the Terry Schiavo case.
Mm-hmm.
That's... This is a woman that wants to take her tube feeding out?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, first off, she's not going to make that volleyball team if you pull the thing off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I look at it. So tryouts are coming up this weekend.
We don't know the case directly. I hear, you know, bits and pieces on the news. So it's very hard to sort of render judgment about a specific case. But in general, the way we deal with death and dying in this country is just awful.
I agree.
People, the process of dying has become a drawn-out, painful, miserable, I mean, just torturous process.
Mm-hmm.
And people specify what they want, and then the people in their life who don't want to experience the pain of the loss themselves draw it out to the point where it becomes just cruel.
And not only that, but they don't want to experience the concept of death. I mean, as human beings, we all have this incredible responsibility emotionally, which is we're the only things on the planet, as far as I know, who know we're going to die.
Yeah.
That is the worst joke you can play on a creature.
Yeah.
My dog runs around, its tail's wagging, it's banging, and it's knocking furniture over. It's so goddamn happy. I'd love to be able to get through to that dog and tell him, not only are you going to die, but one of my years is 70 years. And here's the thing. If I swear to Christ, if I could convince my lab that, baby doll, you're two. You're purebred, so you ain't going as long as the mutts. You're grotesquely overweight. You're going to make it. You got about another 5.5, 6 years, and then you're going in the ground. Or if we don't just, bury in the backyard, you're going to the funeral home. The dog would not walk around flapping its tail all the time. The dog would have days that were tough.
Right.
That's a tough thing to do. So I feel like we want to hang on to other people because it reminds us of our own death. Mortality.
Of course. It's all back to us always. But here's the thing. Dying is a process that we can make dignified and painless and comfortable.
Right.
And we won't do that.
Well, we do it for Scott Peterson.
We make the whole process. We make it all about not dying. Everything's right. About not dying. Every second that we can not die, rather than being realistic about what the probabilities are and making the process dignified and comfortable.
Yeah, and also, whenever anyone talks about living and they're eulogizing somebody, they're always talking about, this guy, trips to Europe and lavish parties and he loved to dance. They never talk about eating through a tube and having a pump clear your bowels every 9 hours. They don't talk about that. That's not living.
And by the way, it goes all the way into our crazy conceptions about aging. Every time you pick up a Time magazine, it's like, you can live to 100. Every time, if you've ever thought, go to a nursing home and look at 95-year-old men sometime.
Right.
They are wretched.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a male and be 95. It's just a horrible existence.
Yes.
90% of the time, if you make it that far.
Yeah. Okay. So the point is we're all going to die, some sooner than others. The living, pretend like no one's ever going to die because we're freaked out by it. So we got to keep the broad hooked up to the feeding tube for the rest of her life.
And also a lack of acceptance of what disease is. Who knows what she's experiencing? Maybe she's locked in there. No, we do know. We do.
Look,
we do.
Whatever she's experiencing, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
I just feel like there shouldn't be such a crazy taboo surrounding it. If you've deemed your life not worth living, and obviously it's not because you don't have function anymore. And I'm not saying everyone who's in a wheelchair needs to go. Hell, if you can think, if you can create, if you can communicate, but if you're essentially, an avocado with a toothpick in it sitting in a mason jar in a windowsill, it's time to go.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. It happens all the time. And I just, this idea, and then the slippery slope a-holes enter the picture. And, it starts with the person that is brain dead and needs a machine to exist. And then eventually you start getting into mentally ill people. And then you just decide you don't like your children.
Yeah.
You shut up, you a-holes. You think that's ever going to happen? Never happens. No. And furthermore, they get into this, like, who are you to play God? Who am I to play God?
Keeping them alive is playing God.
You got them running off a 110 generator to stay alive. I'm playing God? You unplug them, they die. Unplugging people isn't playing God. Plugging them in is playing God. Now, how about we do this? How about when your buddy dies, I just go ahead and get an elaborate pulley system, and I hook them up with ropes and stuff, and we animate them. And I fill them full of formaldehyde, and they can dance in your living room every night. You would be appalled if I said that. That's what happened. This person died. We quickly intervened and plugged them into something, and now they're just a vegetable. Of course. I'm playing God by unplugging them? There's a power outage, the person dies, that's Yeah, yeah, playing God. Please, people make me sick. I hate all of you. All you crazy, slippery slope, lifer, sanctimonious prick blowhards. Just shut up, would you?
Lifer, sanctimonious prick blowhards? Lifer.
Just shut up. No one cares about your stupid, retarded religious beliefs. Just obviously you're scared and freaked out, so just keep it to yourself, would you please? Stop thumping the Bible and talking about slippery slopes.
Let us pee.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. You should be able to kill yourself if you can prove that you're sane. Just like the... hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, no. We have not had a night like this in a long time.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And a little
Michelle just dove under the console.
She's lighting a match.
Oh, that's good.
Look out. Yeah, and she put it out quickly. That's a pro. That's a pro. See, most people just burn the match.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't realize putting it out. Wow, that had a little pop.
Bring it over here, please, Michelle.
Can't wait till I get home.
Now, why don't you light it?
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you can, I'm wearing sweatpants. I got to do it in denim.
Okay. Thank you.
If you can prove you're sane enough to get your junk chopped off and get a sex change, why can't you just prove you're sane and you're tired of living?
Yeah.
There's that. That's heavy. It's heavy, man. Mm-hmm. April?
Yes.
24?
Yes.
So, speaking of death, your best friend died?
On the 3rd of February, yeah.
What happened?
Diagnosed with cancer in October and died within 3.5 months.
What kind of cancer?
Well, they thought it was ovarian, but it just took over her entire body, and they decided it was some protein.
How old was she?
She just turned 25 in December.
Wow.
Wait, it wasn't ovarian cancer?
No, it just started there. But it moved to her liver and her lymph nodes. But
that's what ovary does. That's ovarian cancer.
Well, we'll call it ovarian cancer.
But she had five different strands of cancer, so they couldn't actually say that it was specifically the ovarian.
Huh.
All right. Well, anyway.
It's a very rare case. It was crazy.
Well, it's
awful.
Lord works in mysterious ways. Yeah, so that's horrible. Now what?
Well, she was engaged to be married March, actually. And obviously it didn't happen. And I'm very close with her fiancé. We were pretty much a trio. And he has been, kind of not talking to anybody else, but only calling me and returning my calls. And, she had so many friends, and everybody has been really supportive, but he's kind of only just coming to me, and he's been staying with me a lot, and I don't know, I feel like something might be going on, and him, and I don't know if it's necessarily he has feelings for me, but I feel like I want to be able to help him deal with this healthy, in a healthy way.
BJ
will always cut the tension.
Oh, God.
When you're grieving.
He, grabbed my breast in our sleep the other night. He's been, staying the night with me.
Yeah, he
doesn't
want
anything.
He's been sleeping in the same bed?
Well, yeah, we're good friends.
April, no. Are you kidding? Well, first of all, don't ever do this again with somebody you think is not going to attack you and try to have sex with you. A male. I don't care if it's your dad. Seriously,
what?
That is ridiculous.
Take it from the Michelin man
of
passion.
That is a silly thing to be doing. But this guy, we got to cut him some slack and realize that that's how men experience closeness is through sex. And if he's really hurting and looking for relief, I'm...
I'm hurting as well. She was my best friend.
I know, but hold on a second. The guy is sleeping... Quiet down. The guy is sleeping in your bed. She died how long ago? 3 months?
No, just a month and a half.
Six weeks ago.
Okay.
All right. He's sleeping in your bed. There's something going on. It may be unspoken. It's going on on both sides. I mean, you and him.
I can tell you I'm not interested.
You're not?
Well, then stop having him in your bed.
How about no more slumber parties?
I told her that I would, take care of him.
That's not taking care of him.
Alone.
No, April.
Yeah,
no. That's not taking care of him.
No. He's sleeping in your bed.
But nothing is happening, I swear.
Yeah, it's starting to, though. And
why are you calling, though? I mean, obviously it's going down that road.
Because I want to know, like, how I can, like, go about the situation. Like, it's getting to the point where he's, like, you know, gets mad if I can't, like, hang out with him. And I just, like, need to...
Okay. Oh, well, let me, you know... Here's... Okay, we'll tell you what to do. But are you attractive?
I think so.
Hmm?
Here's the deal, April. You have no idea how to set boundaries with people. You don't. You have no boundaries yourself.
I don't. Yeah. You're right.
All right. Yeah. Now we don't. You know, we don't want to kick a gal when she's down.
No,
but
no.
This is, you know, probably good advice that could save you from, you know, potentially dangerous situations in
exactly.
the future.
Exactly.
You have to start steering this thing away from your futon. If you have no feelings for this guy.
Right. And you have a right to not take care of him all the time. You have a right to your own private time. You have a right to maintain the integrity of your bed without having a guy that you don't really are not really attracted to sharing it with you.
Are you sure you're not attracted to him at all?
I'm positive, but I mean, remember, like, the circumstance, like, my friend just died. And it's,
yes, I get
but
that.
Adjustments are so hard.
I know, but why...
Yeah, but he's...
I know, but...
Stop
working
it.
That. Hey, yeah, your friend. Yeah. I had a friend that just died of ovarian cancer. I'm not sleeping with her friends, you know? I mean, this happens to a lot of people. You don't just jump in bed with the fiancé.
And by the way, the way you support people is not by taking on their feelings. It's about being present and just showing them that you appreciate what they're feeling. You're not responsible 24/7. I mean, do you have an eating disorder or something?
No.
April?
No, I don't.
Did you ever have anything like that?
Excuse me?
Did you ever have any problems like that?
No, I'm a chef.
Aha!
Interesting.
All right, here's the thing, April. If you don't have feelings for him that way, do not. You're leading him on by letting him climb in your bed. There's plenty of time to grieve when you guys are out of bed.
Right.
And what do you do?
Get away from your apartment. Just go visit him in a structured way on a regular basis.
You're a chef. That's meet it. Him at an Olive Garden.
Right.
A delightful Olive Garden. Now, here's the other thing, too. Everybody, here's how you work. Believe me, I've made a career out of manipulating people. You have somebody, and everyone calls the show every night. It's like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it's like, well, stop it. Well, yeah, but he keeps calling or he keeps wanting to come on. Here's how it works. The person calls. Normally, you call back within half an hour or you pick up or whatever. Give it a day.
Right.
Call them back 24 hours later.
Or if you pick up, go, oh, I've got to go. I'm sorry. I've got to.
Yeah, let me get back with you.
You have a right to not be always
right.
there.
You can start training the person. Before you know it, they call. You get back with them in a few days, okay? And then when they want to get together, you say, yeah, it's great. Why don't we catch a movie? I'll meet you at the theater at 8 o'clock.
And I know April feels like she wants to be constantly supervising this guy, but the fact is, yes, you are doing your friend's work on her behalf. She asked you to watch over and take care of him. Believe me, she did not mean that you were with him 24/7 sleeping in the bed together.
Crawl in the bed and
that's,
grabbed a boob,
I know,
by the way.
Not what she meant.
Yeah,
she means you just kind of keep an eye out for him.
I don't, you know, far be it from me to question the grieving, but you wonder about the guy a little bit. I wouldn't be sleeping over if I was him.
No. But I could see a guy, if they're in that situation, they just want to be physical and stuff.
Oh, Drew, as a man of passion.
Supreme.
Look, you could fall asleep with just a, you know, rotting bison corpse, just a rotting carcass of a water buffalo in a futon, and you would cop a feel. There's no doubt.
Your point?
No point. Probably be in it by first light. But my point is, yeah, guy's going to cop a feel. I question the guy who says about a climb under the covers with you.
Yeah, the guy that gets in with that is yeah.
All right. I got to take a little break. I'm going to talk to
see what we get.
Ashley, yeah. Tiffany, dating cousin's 28-year-old foster dad. Tiffany?
Yeah?
you have a friend slash roommate who wants to know if you're getting married to them?
Okay, this is the whole story. Okay, hold on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Tiffany and the whole story after this. Yeah, everybody, love line, man. That's Doc Drew. Let's rock and roll with some phone calls here.
I'm still trying to get people with sexual secrets and fears and aversions.
I'm still trying to work up another fart. Tiffany?
Yeah.
19.
Yep. Okay. My friend, he lives in California right now, and he's getting ready to graduate high school. He's 18. And he was going to come out here and go to college. But the college he wanted to go to, he said that he changed his mind. He doesn't want to go there. But he wants to come move out here and live with me. And, you know, he knows it's just his friends, and I've talked to him about it. But then, like, lately, he's been saying stuff like, oh, will you marry me? Like, and then he'll start laughing when I'm all, what? And then he'll be like, do you see yourself marrying me? I'm like, no. He just, and I'm
why don't, you don't like him that way?
Not really, no.
Why not? We say not really, but maybe?
Yes, like, sometimes I kind of like him, but then sometimes I want to shoot him because he's so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the question.
Are you good looking?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Is he good looking?
Funky.
A little chunky.
Chunky.
is he good looking?
Well, kind of. He kind of looks like my half sister's dad and uncle put together.
Oh, that must be very appealing. Close my eyes. Yep.
Yeah. See,
Clear as day. Like
half
looking,
sister's
like looking
dad
a head
and
shot.
Uncle. Hmm?
Hold on. Clear as day. I've seen this cat. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I probably
and
seen
many
him
like
before.
Him.
Yeah, many like him. All right, there. So here's what I'm getting, or here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Tiffany could have some interest in this guy, but he's a little bit of a heartbreaker. This guy's a little bit of a screws around, toys around a little bit. Is that right? Have you been burned by him before?
No, he's 'cause I used to date this one guy, and that's how I met him. He was one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved out to Colorado in the past couple months, since like October. We've been talking on the phone and didn't know each other.
You've never kissed him or anything?
Oh, no.
That's what he's aiming for. The marriage thing is just his way of getting physical.
Yeah, he's screwing around, but he's interested. But you sound like you could be interested in him, but you're sort of protecting yourself a little bit. Is that true?
Maybe.
Huh?
I kind of have, I realize I have a little bit of fear of commitment, I think. So
yeah, I know, but you sound almost flattered that he's making these overtures.
Well,
that's where the chunky part comes in.
No, sometimes, like, I like him, but then just sometimes I don't want him to come here. Or I want him to come here, but I don't know if it's a good idea if we live together.
No, I don't think that's so either.
Because here's my prediction. My prediction is, and here's what I think your fear is. I think he comes out there. I think you guys shack up. I think over a couple of beers, a couple of weekends into the shacking up, something happens. There's a physical part that happens. That goes on for a little while with a sort of casual understanding of friends with benefits.
Right.
And then one night he brings home another chick and you freak out.
There you go.
Yeah, actually,
All right, so don't do it. Look, if your gut, your sizable gut tells you, no. She said she was chunky.
Chunky.
I'm not a joke. If your gut tells you not that this is not a good situation,
it's
fine.
Good.
On the other hand, stop running away from relationships. You're 19. You're freaked out about intimacy.
Yeah, you're very anxious about things. Very sort of spun about everything.
Yeah, here's the thing. People really can't do anything to you that you don't do to yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, they can love you and they can leave you, and that can either be devastating or you can move on, mm-hmm. depending on what your mental health is.
True.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah. All right. Ashley?
Yes.
17?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, here's the deal. I have a cousin, and he's the same age as me. And when we were younger, he got put into foster care. He got in trouble, got put into foster care. Well, we went a few years without seeing each other, and then when I was 15, we finally saw each other again after a long time, and his foster dad was only 26,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of got together, and now, like, I guess I considered that we were together, and so now I'm 17. We've been together for, like, 2 years, and I don't know if that's, like, wrong Because, like, people are just not.
He was 26. He was 26 and you were 15? Yes, that's wrong.
Well, he's in the foster care.
But there wasn't anything, like. Like, I mean. I don't, like,
only,
there wasn't
only
anything,
oral.
But, like, we weren't having sex or anything.
No oral sex?
Yeah, no, there was no sex when I was 15. And I'm 17, and we've only had sex twice. And it's not even because of me, it's because of him. He thinks it's disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
So you only did it twice?
Yeah, we've only had sex twice.
Okay.
Disrespectful.
That's nice to see an old-fashioned guy.
He thinks it's disrespectful.
Yeah, that's so, BS. Disrespectful, I could not think of a farther word from what that is. But
well, no, the sex would be disrespectful, so I only did it a couple times. You know how it is. True. It's like it would be wrong for you to have sex with, like, one of your kids' teachers or something, so you just do it a couple times.
Right,
it would be wrong for you to have sex with one of your wife's
friends.
He
didn't say it was harmful. It'd be disrespectful.
It'd be disrespectful for you to have sex with, like, your kid's tutor.
And he's this foster. This guy's got to go.
But Drew, that's why I only did it twice.
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He does not want to be disrespectful. Yeah.
Drew, I really respect your opinion. I really do. That's why I called.
All right.
I have grave concerns about this guy. Grave, grave, grave. He's an adult. He's with a child. He's been having sex with you. He started when you were 15.
No, they started hanging out.
Whoa.
We didn't have sex until I was 17. Calm down.
What were you doing at 15? Just hanging out?
At 15, I told him, like, I've always looked older than I am, and for a long time I kind of use that to my advantage.
All right, yeah. I mean, if you had long hair or something, that's totally different.
No.
Different situation.
I looked quite a bit older than I was.
Yeah,
and so,
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
not, doesn't get people up to. You think that would go down in the court of law?
No.
Well,
no.
He knew you were 15.
Hey, the deal is, it's to protect you. The fact that he considers a respect issue shows how profoundly distorted
these
issues.
Were you kissing at 15?
Not really. I mean, like.
Really? Oh my God!
This guy's an idiot.
But I mean,
it's not about respect. It's harmful to the young person.
All right, look, Ashley. Here's the thing. You you look older than 17. You act younger than 13. So I'm done talking to you. Go do whatever you want with this idiot. Realize he's a criminal, and realize one day you will realize we were right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Well, that's the show. That's the week, y'all. It is, isn't it?
Big week next week, too.
Yeah, a lot of good guests in here. God bless all of you for listening, even though I don't believe in him. I want to thank Engineer Anderson, the magic-fingered one, for doing a great job all week. I want to thank Engineer Chris, the magic-fingered one as well, for doing a great job. Michelle. Breath of fresh Mexican air blown right into the studio every other week, as far as I can tell. Engineers Michelle. I want to thank phone screener Brian for taking my edict of more big jugs and responding.
Executing it.
Like a champ. And Junior producer Lauren for doing a fantastic job. Bringing her A game. Except for that whole coffee debacle. Bringing her A game. And producer Ann. Fantabulous. So until next time, Santa Cruz for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
He hit himself in the balls with a ball peen hammer.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.